Either way, take your Bibles, let's hold them up, and let's say the words on the screen together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. It is the indestructible, incorruptible, everlasting, living Word of God. I receive it now by faith, and I believe that my life will forever be changed. Let's pray. Father, once again, we come to you. Lord, we come to you with an expectation. We are expecting this morning for your word to minister to us, Lord, to help us with life, to help us to walk out the faith that is in our heart. And Lord, we thank you that you can help us to live blessed in the midst of a stress-filled world. You can help us to overcome stress. And Lord, we thank you that you can help those of us who are married to have a blessed marriage, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, this morning, as we continue in this series, Bless Not Stress, I'm going to minister to you a message entitled, Help Me, I'm Married. Now, how many of you know that stress has enough life? I mean, our life has enough stress, and then you go and you get married. And really, a part of the stress that comes with marriage is the stress that just comes with being in relationship. And so there's normal stress that happens when two people are united together. But what we want to do today is, through the Word of God, we want to teach you how to handle the normal stress that comes with marriage, and then how to avoid the toxic stress that can be put on relationships, and then how to really enjoy a blessed marriage. Everybody loves a good love story. So can you show our wedding picture? This is Jeff and I. Yeah, see the women. Did you hear the women there? Everybody loves a good love story. Many of you know I didn't get married till later in life. In fact, some people had lost hope. But all things are possible with God. And so we did get married. Actually, we'll be celebrating 16 years. And listen, you got to give credit to Jeff. Yeah. You got to give credit to Jeff, too, because who marries the pastor? That's a little tough to come to church. And so he had to jump through some hoops to even consider marrying the pastor. So we all love a good love story. And so we want everyone to have a blessed marriage. So if you're ever thinking about marriage, certainly if you are married or you know somebody that's married, or if you're not married, this is going to help you. There are going to be things in this message that will help you today. Now, just like everybody loves a good love story, when you're talking about marriage, you know, you also can't help but tell one joke. So I got one joke for you, too, and this joke has to do with a man, and he was at the cemetery, and he was standing over a tombstone, and he's just crying and crying, and he just keeps repeating out loud, "Why did you have to die? Why did you have to die? Why'd you have to die?" And so this other gentleman that's there, and he's visiting a lost relative, putting some flowers on the grave. He hears this guy over here, so he goes over, and he said, "I'm so sorry, sir. Was that your wife?" And he said, "No, it was her first husband." So, there can be a little stress in marriage. But let's start off today like we have every week. Now I got to get you back. Let's start off today like we have every week. And let's just establish that, married or not, God wants all of his children blessed. And we can do that in the midst of stress. Jeremiah 17:7. It says, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They're like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit." Now, Jeremiah teaches us a most valuable principle in this little passage. As he's describing this tree obviously is a picture of the blessed life. But he doesn't just describe that the tree is flourishing, that the tree never stops producing fruit. He also tells you that this tree is not bothered by the heat. So there's heat. He also said that this tree is not worried by the long months of drought. In other words, he teaches us that it is God's plan for us to prosper and that we can be blessed even in the midst of stressful situations. Wow. Now, we also learned the biblical definition of the word blessed. The word blessed in biblical terms simply means this: the power to prosper. You see, when you come into a relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ, all of a sudden you have power. You are enabled to live a life that you could not live except for who you know, who you're in relationship with. So listen, we live in a stressful world. We know there's normal stress in life, but through the power of Jesus Christ, we are blessed. Through Jesus, we have been given all we need to flourish in life. And so that's one of the reasons why at Faith Life Church, our overall mission is to build your faith, to empower you to live by faith in Jesus, because it's in Him that you find everything you need to live the best life possible and then to find joy in serving others just like He did. Now, conditions are stressful. You might say if you're married, they certainly are. Let's look at the definition of stress. It says stress, a state of mental or emotional strain or tension resulting from adverse or very demanding circumstances. You see, there's stress in life. It doesn't matter if you're single. Listen, I was a single adult for many years. And so I know what it's like to live a single life. And there was times that I really felt like as a woman that, gosh, it'd be great to, you know, have a man beside me to help. And then sometimes I looked at some marriage and I thought, I can wait. Because, listen, there is some stress, some added stress, let me put it that way, some added opportunity for stress when you come into relationship. And this is true of any relationship. But we do it because it's God's plan. Part of God's plan is that we would be blessed through relationship, just like we're blessed through our relationship with Him. But along with relationship, especially because we're entering it, when we come into relationship with God, we're the issue. When we come into relationship with someone else, we both have issues. And so there's some stress, but how do we learn how to manage the normal stress that a relationship puts on us? How do we avoid toxic stress that literally will break a relationship, break a marriage? And then how do we live the blessed life together in marriage? Now, I've used this rubber band before, but I just want to use it again in the illustration of relationship or the marriage relationship. Again, the rubber band is made to handle some stress. You can stretch it. But I believe what happens in marriage is just like when I put too much stress on this relationship or on this rubber band, it's going to break. When you put too much stress on a marriage relationship, it's called divorce. It breaks. Then there are some marriages that don't have divorce papers, but they're living that way. They're living broken. But listen, God wants us to have and enjoy a blessed marriage. You know, at Easter every year, I ask all of you at Faith Life to just fill out a little form and what are the things that you would like for me to teach on, some needs that you may have in your life, sermon topics. And the top three this past Easter in 2019 were this: marriage, dealing with stress, and finances. I think they're all three related. Yes. Come on. And so stress happens in life, stress happens in relationships, and certainly in the marriage relationship. So how do we have a blessed marriage? Well, I'm going to give you two principles today, share just two principles from the Word of God. We'll expound on each of those principles, but two simple principles that you can apply to your marriage that will help you manage the normal stress in any relationship and then help you to avoid toxic stress that will break the relationship and then also empower you to tap into the blessings of God for your marriage. And so let's get the first principle down, and it's a very simple one, and here it is. Number one, set the goal. I believe that some marriages are under stress because they haven't set the right goal for marriage. They have differing goals, or they're going after something in marriage that marriage cannot deliver. And when you do that, you put too much stress. So you need to set the goal. Or maybe today you need to reset the goal. But let's go to Genesis and let's find out what God's goal is for marriage. Genesis chapter 2, verse 23. This is when God created Eve and he brings her to Adam. It says, "At last," the man exclaimed, "this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one." I like to say this, that basically, when Eve was created, Adam looked at her and went, "Wow, man." That's how he got her name. But really, we see at the very beginning of creation, when the woman is first brought to the man and the marriage relationship is established, God also sets the purpose, his purpose for marriage, which then should become our goal for marriage. And listen, in setting the goal, here's the goal: two united into one. That's the goal. The goal of marriage is for two people to become one in this holy matrimony. And it is holy. God set it up as holy. It is something sacred. Two people, a man and a woman, pledge themselves to one another. And then they are set apart from every other man and every other woman to be in unity together. That's the goal for marriage. Two united into one, and we need to take God's purpose for marriage, and we need to make it the goal of our marriage. And now we know where the stress comes in. Two, becoming one. When you take two people with two different personalities, two different perspectives on things, and you ask them to operate in harmony and to be united in life, come on. There's going to be a little stress put on you at different times. In fact, divorce so often is the result of having the wrong goal. We're not trying to become one. We're not thinking about being united. Too often we're thinking about my side and his side. One wise counselor said, and I'm sure you've heard it, it's been repeated throughout the years, there's her side, his side, and the right side. Listen, too often we're thinking about sides instead of thinking about becoming one. What's the goal in your marriage? Is it to become united? Is it to become one? Becoming one is a process. But if you have the right goal, if you set God's goal, and God is the one. Now listen, can I just say this? And I don't want to get into the culture of our day right now, because I want to stay on this message. Let me just say this. The reason why the world cannot redefine marriages is because they did not define it to begin with. They did not create it to begin with. They did not come up with it to begin with. And so we got to let the one who created marriage define marriage. And he has defined it between a man and a woman. And then he's defined the purpose and the goal is to become one. And listen, when the goal is wrong, when you've got the wrong goal in marriage, you're expecting something from marriage that's not there. It puts too much stress on the relationship, or someone has forgotten the goal and you make up your own goal for marriage. Wow. You need to set the goal and then you need to realign as necessary. Some of you this morning, man, just need to take a moment and hit reset, because you've really forgotten what God's purpose and what God's goal for marriage is. Now, here's the wonderful thing. God had something great in mind for each spouse when he set that goal. He had something so marvelous, something so wonderful. You just don't know how to live life when you're married and you're one, and the goal is unity, not division. The goal is finding common ground. The goal is serving God together, working together, living together, making decisions. Come on, togetherness. Wow, something wonderful. He wants us to enjoy a blessed marriage, and we can do it even in spite of the stress that comes, our weaknesses. All of us have weaknesses. Let me talk about the one factor for just a moment. You see, God's math concerning marriage is that two people become one. And here's God's math. One times one equals one. It's pretty simple. One times one equals one. But you see, the one factor is so important, and this is going to lead us into something that we need to learn this morning, and that is what the goal is not. You see, because some people think that the goal in marriage is for me to find my other half, that I'm missing things in life. There's things inside me I don't feel fulfilled, and I don't feel complete, and so I'm going to find my other half, and then that's going to complete me. I'm really just half a person. Now I need the other half. Well, listen, one times one is one, but can I show you the next little equation? One half times one half. Come on. One fourth. If you go into a marriage taking from that person, you're both going to come out with less. But if you go in, you say, well, Pastor Jane, I wasn't whole when I got married. I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm talking about you realizing that you are an individual with gifts, with talents, that you are loved by God. Maybe you don't even totally understand that, but that your goal is to bring all of yourself and to add to that person, not to take from that person. When I was single, when people used to say, yeah, you know, I just felt like I was a half a person until I got married. And I thought, well, where does that leave me? Really, let me talk about what marriage is not. The goal is not to have someone to complete me. That's not the goal of marriage. Colossians 2:10 says this, so you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. So let me just say this, only Jesus can fully satisfy your soul. Now, I'm not saying for one minute that there's not a satisfaction in marriage. It's not a satisfaction in being loved and loving somebody. But when it comes to your personal being, Jesus is the only one who can complete you and make you whole. And then it's you, as you bring that completeness into that marriage, then it makes that marriage amazing. Ladies, don't saddle a man with a responsibility to make you complete. He can't do it. It'll put too much pressure on the relationship. Men, you do the same. Look to Jesus. Don't look to another woman. Don't look to a man to bring you the satisfaction that only comes from the Lord. How about number two? I want to talk about the second thing that the goal is not. The goal is not to have someone to make me happy. Listen, if you are looking to be happy, don't get married. If that's your goal, is that marriage is going to make you happy. Now listen, I will tell you, I was happy on my wedding day. I am happily married, but here's the problem. Don't think that marriage is going to make you happy. Listen, your spouse is not responsible for your happiness. Now I didn't say they couldn't mess it up. But even when they mess it up, you're responsible to clean it up and be happy again. Listen, instead of looking to your husband or your wife to make you happy, how about just becoming a happy person and being a happy wife, a happy husband, so that together you can have a happy life. It's not about somebody making me happy. Now, my husband often says, you know, to our boys, we have two sons, and if he's gone traveling or something, he'll say, keep mama happy. You know, that old adage, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. But the truth is, mama needs to get herself happy. Now, again, coming from them, yeah, they have every responsibility to do what they need to do to not make me unhappy. But in the end, I'm responsible for my happiness. You can't blame that. Well, I'm not happy because they don't do this for me and they don't do that. Listen, everything you need is found in Jesus. Be happy. It's much easier to be married to a happy person. Come on. Here's what the goal is not to, and I'm giving you what the goal is not because this is the unhealthy stress that you need to avoid in a relationship. The goal is not, and I'm talking about the marriage goal, is not to get my needs met. Listen, you don't get married so that someone can meet your needs. I don't care what that need is. That's not the goal of marriage. In fact, Dr. Willard Harley Jr. wrote a book that's pretty popular, and it's called His Needs, Her Needs. And in that book, it lists the 5 top needs of a man and the 5 top needs of a woman. And I always give these to young couples or any couple that's getting married, but I want us to look at them. I want us to first look at the top 5 needs of a man, and here they are. Top 5 needs, every man. His needs, sexual fulfillment, recreational companionship. In other words, he wants you to go out and do things with him. When we go to Costa Rica, we go whitewater rafting. I'd never been whitewater rafting until I married him. Now I've been several times. Anyway, recreational companionship, an attractive spouse, domestic support, admiration, and really admiration could be respect. Those are the 5 top needs of a man. Now let's look at the top 5 needs of a woman. Her needs are affection, conversation, honesty and openness, financial support, family commitment. How many of you know his needs are not her needs, and her needs are not his needs? And your job is not to get your spouse to meet your needs. Your responsibility in marriage and becoming one is to know your spouse's needs and meet those needs. Quit complaining about his needs. I have to tell you, I've had some wives come to me and they, you know, I just see a little bit of frustration. We're talking about their marriage, you know, and they said, you know, does all my husband ever really think about is sex? I said, is he breathing? Yeah. See, sometimes they think something's wrong with their husband because that's all. No, listen, God created man with this need for sexual fulfillment. Now, we'll say this, if a man isn't married, then God gives them the strength to protect those boundaries until they come into that relationship. But listen, we're talking about married people. And listen, you cannot, I remember early on in our marriage, I was talking to a pastor friend of mine and a male, and we were talking about something, and Jeff is just a servant. He just serves and gives and gives. And I was really telling this pastor, yeah, I mean, even Saturday morning, he's up, he's going to wash our cars, he's going to go fill my gas up, and sometimes I just want him to slow down. And he said, listen, don't rewire him. You'll blow a circuit. This is the way he's wired. Listen, this is the way a woman, I'm sorry, men, it's just the way we're wired. We want conversation. We want affection. So your responsibility in marriage, I'm talking about a blessed marriage. It's to find the needs of your spouse, and then you go about meeting those needs. You don't get married to have somebody meet your needs. You go into marriage saying, I am here to meet your needs. See, that's that becoming one. That's that flesh dying, because we're no longer, well, what about me? What about me? No. You can't become one thinking about yourself. You become one thinking about your spouse and meeting their needs. Now, I said the first principle was set the goal. We've expounded on that. But here's the second principle I want to deal with today with a blessed marriage. Number 2, fulfill your roles. Not only do people sometimes don't have the right goal for their marriage, they don't even know biblically their roles in marriage. A man has a role, a wife has a role. Now I'm going to give you the big picture here this morning. Obviously, I can't do this subject justice in just one message, but I can certainly hit some key points, and I want to talk about fulfilling your roles. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 31. Ephesians starting with chapter 5, starting with verse 31. It says, as the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, listen to verse 33. So again, I say each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Now, the Apostle Paul was writing this, but we know he was inspired by God. And he takes from the passage in the very beginning where God set the purpose of marriage to becoming one. But then he also begins to define the general role of the husband and the general role of the wife. And here it is. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husband. Wow. Just those two statements alone, we can see right now why some marriages are not blessed. Why some women are so stressed out. Why some men are under stress. The men aren't getting the respect. The wives aren't getting the love. They don't know their role. Maybe they're confused about the goal still. You see, this role, each one, the husband loving the wife, the wife respecting her husband, each of those roles help unite us, help bring us closer to one another. Again, it's about me meeting his need, not about me getting my need met. It's about me, it's about the each one, the husband and the wife, meeting the other needs. If you want your marriage blessed, then love and respect are essential. Wow. Let's talk about the wife's role for just a moment, and then we'll talk about the husband's role. The wife's role, respect your husband. Let me just give you a definition of the word respect. It's a feeling of deep admiration for someone or something elicited by their abilities, qualities, or achievement. It means to regard highly. It means to esteem. One definition said it means to like very much. Respect. And I know some wives might say, Pastor Jane, I can't respect my husband. It's a lost cause. There's nothing there to respect. Well, then you don't have a marriage problem. You've got another problem. Now, and I understand that I'm speaking generally today, okay? And I understand there might be some situation that for some reason something happened and the respect really has been lost. I'm going to speak in generally today. If you don't respect your husband, then you got a bigger problem, and that is, why did you marry someone you can't respect? So really, he's not the problem. You need to hear God better. But 99 times out of 100, it's not that there's nothing to respect in your husband. It's that you've been focusing on the wrong things. Respect is a choice. You got to choose to respect your husband. You got to choose to focus on his abilities and on the... And listen, if nothing else, can I just tell you this? Respect him for the good taste he has in women. Married you, didn't he? Pretty smart man. You know, I just ask the Lord today to help you to really overlook those faults. Every man has faults. You know, sometimes we idolize people and, you know, we look at somebody else's Facebook and they're off with their husband again and they're doing this and they're doing that and you don't know what's going on at home. And you think, oh, if my husband were like that. Listen, I want to tell you, you married a man. It's amazing how many women come to me and they're talking about complaining that he's a man. He's a man. That's the way they act. That's the way they think. They don't think like us. He's a man. There's that one, I don't even remember his name right now. He's got some really hilarious things on men and women and talks about left brain and right brain. And, you know, he talks about a woman coming up to her husband and he's sitting there in the recliner and she goes, what you thinking? And he says, nothing. Nothing? I know you're thinking something. He says, nothing. You see, we women are never thinking nothing. But it is really true. He is thinking absolutely nothing. But we want to go in his nothing box and we want to give him something to think about. Leave him alone. Respect. Listen, part of respect is just respecting him as a man and respecting that that doesn't mean he doesn't love you because he didn't do that. He was just being a man. Let him be a man. You married a man. Now, talking about respect, don't you think I should show a little respect? So how am I doing? Did I miss something? Anything you want to add? Uh-oh.
Sounds good.
Now listen, you know, I'm telling you, I didn't even know that he was going to say just that. But right then, some of us women, we overthink things. Well, did he really mean that? That wasn't just two words. You see, we women would never just say two words. Come on. And here's the thing, ladies. Let me just say this, and I want to move on to husbands. Listen, one of the things don't do, if you want to have a blessed marriage, don't disrespect him. How do you disrespect him? You bring up his shortcomings in public. You talk about his faults with your mother and your friends. Listen, every man has faults. Every person has faults. We women, though, have a tendency to look at our husbands in judgmental ways. That's why so often if you ask a man and a woman in their marriage, how's your marriage? Often you can find that the man will go, you know, they'll say between 1 and 10, 10 being the best, how's your marriage? And the man will go 9.5. And how about the 4? You know why? Because we're overthinking everything. We're judging everything. You have the same faults, but he doesn't judge. Thank God men aren't like that. Wow. Don't disrespect him. Let's talk about husbands. Husbands, love your wife. Love, let me just define, give you the definition of a Greek scholar's definition of this word love. It is the agape love, but Spiros Zodiotis defines it as this. It indicates a direction of the will and a finding of one's joy in anything. Wow. You know what, husbands, to love your wife just means that you direct your will toward her. And in directing your will toward her, you're directing your attention toward her. You are putting her first. Women need to know they're loved. And you want to put that in practical terms? It means to know that I'm number one. I know you got to go to work, but I just want to know that if something happened to me, you'd take care of me. You wouldn't go to work and you'd take care of me. That you'd turn off the ball game and you would take care of me if I really needed it. I'm number one. I'm before your sports. I'm before your friends. Now, the only one that women that you should not be number one ahead of, that's God. But other than that, men, women want to know that they're number one. And listen, when a wife says, "Do you love me?" she's not asking for information. She's asking for assurance. That's why you say yes. You know, the proverbial, you probably heard this joke, this couple's been married now about 5 years, and so the young wife, you know, she's feeling a little unloved, and she said, "Honey, do you love me?" "Yeah." "Honey, do you really love me?" "Yeah." "Honey, do you really love me?" And he said, "I married you, didn't I?" You see, and for a guy, but see, you're going to have to think, you're going to have to meet her needs. She's wanting you to assure her, and "yeah" isn't a very good assurance. "Yes, I love you more than anybody on the face of the earth." That's what we're looking for. And all the women started clapping. Now, but listen, it's amazing because God has asked the man and the woman to do the thing that does not come natural to them. It's not natural for the woman to give respect. In our flesh, it's natural for us to judge everything you didn't do and then to judge what you did do, whether or not it met our expectations. And then to think that you should have known what to do even if I didn't tell you what to do. And you know what? It's not natural for a man to express his love. He loves, but it's not natural for him to love like God says that he wants you to love. And then what happens is when the man and the woman, they don't know their roles and she's not feeling love. And so because she's not feeling love, then she doesn't respect him. And then because she doesn't respect him, it's hard for her to love somebody that doesn't respect him. And actually, it's called the Emerson-Eckert's crazy cycle. A man doesn't give enough love, so you don't give enough respect. It becomes a vicious cycle that puts such stress on the marriage. And listen, somebody has got to break the cycle. Somebody, wife, you just have to choose to begin to respect. Find those things that you can respect them for. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't ever have a healthy discussion about some things that need to be improved. That you can't ever say, "You know what? That does not work. Don't do that again." Okay? In the right time, and the right time is not when he's watching his favorite ball game and they're in overtime. That would be the wrong time. But I will say this, men, pretty much any time you want to talk about relationship with women, she's ready. if you tell them that's what you want to talk about, because women are relationship oriented. Anyway, somebody's got to break the cycle. Let me say this. A one-sided choice can break the cycle. That means when either person, husband or wife, on either side, decides to love even though they don't feel respect, or decides to respect even when they don't feel loved. I'm talking about a blessed marriage. I'm talking about overcoming stress. Now, let me wrap this up today. Got 1 minute. Let's talk about a blessed marriage, and I want to just give you one final scripture and speak to it for just a moment of how you really accomplish setting the goal and fulfilling your role. Back to Ephesians 5:31. It says, as the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. You see, our marriage, this blessing that is there for us to be had as in a marriage relationship, it says our marriage should reflect the relationship between Christ and the church. You know what Christ did for the church? Christ gave his life for the church. You know what we do in marriage? We give our lives to each other. We're not so concerned about ourselves, but we're concerned about the other person. And there's such a blessing to be had in life when you're thoughtful of others, when you're serving and giving your life. And listen, you can't give your life to everyone. But if you're married, you're called to give your life to the one you're married to. And in practically speaking, it's simply this. Set the goal, fulfill the role, and enjoy a blessed marriage. Amen. Did you get something out of that today? I pray that you did. Let's bow our heads as we close out this message today. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the opportunity that we